Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Great to be with you on this Thursday. All right, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Another good show for you. A ton of good content, good interviews, good takes, hopefully good telephone calls. Let's get this thing started. I'll lay the show out for you. First up, I've got Austin Hooper, a tight end for the Cleveland Browns. That's coming up next segment, about 15 minutes out. Coming up next hour, a running back with the LA Chargers, Austin Eckler. Coming up in hour number three, a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, Ben Golliver. So obviously, three really good interviews. I've got an awesome podcast, which I pushed out yesterday, episode 135, starring Eric Weddle, former Charger, former Raven, former Rams. So I've got a lot of good things working today. Let me give you your telephone number. It's been a good phone call week coming off the smack off last week. Let's keep it going. 1-800-636-8686. Once again, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. By now, you know exactly where to find me on social, at Jim Rome. That's my Twitter feed. That's my Instagram feed. Hit me up on Facebook. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, all of that said, I'm going to start the program with kind of a sobering note. We're going to have a lot of fun. I've got some other fun things to do today. Absolutely some fun things to do. But why don't we keep it real to start the program? Sorry to be the guy who's got to keep it real off the top, but let me start by keeping it real off the top. Let me start by talking about the fact that there's quite a juxtaposition going on right now. And yes, I did just open up the first take of the show with a big-ass word. Juxtaposition. There is quite a juxtaposition going on right now. Sorry about that, Hawk. Sorry about that, the rest of you. Sorry to start the day with a big-ass word. But that's exactly what there is. A juxtaposition. Like, on the one hand, you've got professional sports leagues gearing up for their return. MLB players are expected to report to training camp in a number of days. The NHL is likely to follow after that. Major League Soccer, one of my favorite leagues, is preparing for a tournament in Florida to restart their season. The NBA is getting its bubble campus together in Orlando. The NFL is scheduled to open training camp before the end of July. All these things going on, while at the same time, positive test results are everywhere. I.e., your juxtaposition. Florida, Texas, Cali, all reported new daily records yesterday. Nationally, the U.S. reported nearly 39,000 new cases. Another record. And sports have not been immune. In fact, far from it. On the PGA Tour, for instance, Cameron Champ, as well as caddies Ricky Elliott and Ken Conboy, have tested positive since arriving in Connecticut for the Travelers Championship. Elliott caddies for Brooks Koepka, who also withdrew from the tournament, along with his brother, Chase Koepka. Conboy caddies for Graham McDowell, who withdrew as well. Webb Simpson, who won the RBC Heritage on Sunday, also pulled out. Meantime, Bob Nightingale of USA Today reported Sunday, Major League Baseball had 40 players and staff members test positive last week. The league reportedly closed all spring training facilities as a response. Furthermore, according to reports, Sacramento Kings players Buddy Hield, Jabari Parker, and Alex Len announced positive tests. Malcolm Brogdon of the Pacers tested positive. They joined two Phoenix Suns and Nikola Jokic among the NBA players who have tested positive. I mean, I could go on and on, listing each sport and the people who have tested positive in just the last week alone. But you get the point. The juxtaposition. The sobering thought. The Orlando Sentinel, for instance, reported that Disney workers are petitioning Disney World not to reopen to the public in July, which is kind of awkward, since that's where the NBA bubble is going to be. The NFL announced the Hall of Fame game would be canceled, and the Hall of Fame inductions will be postponed until next year. It makes sense. I'd hate for the guys who are going into the Hall of Fame. the guys that are going into the induction to have that postponed, but it's got to be done, right? As for the game itself, that's not the worst thing ever. This is not the first time that game has been canceled. After all, it was canceled one time because the field was terrible. Let me give you another example. Take the case of Ezekiel Elliott, part of that group of Cowboys and Texans players who tested positive. Elliott said yesterday in a Twitch feed that he's back to feeling, quote, normal, but he has not been cleared to work out yet. He also had this to say.
I just feel like there's a lot of moving parts that have to be figured out. I just don't know how they can keep the players healthy. You got to put the health of the players first. And it's not even so much, I would say, the players' health, because, I mean, I got corona and it really didn't affect me much. But a lot of people have kids. You know, they may have kids with asthma. They may have newborn babies. Their parents or grandparents may live with them. But we have to find a way just to make sure that the players and their families and the coaches also and their families aren't put at risk.
You know, at the risk of offending, I've got a question. It may have taken that guy getting it to figure it out. But if that guy can figure it out, how come so many people can't? He gets it. Ezekiel Elliott knows. He nailed that. That's the truth. A lot can change in a matter of weeks. I'm no doctor. And perhaps with a concerted effort and will, we can get this thing under control. But ignoring it is not a very good plan. The NFL has had the advantage of starting its season after all the other sports. They've been able to take a cautious approach. They haven't had to make public declarations about their plans for the impact of COVID. But all of a sudden now, we're in late June, and camps are supposed to be opening up in a matter of weeks. And if the question was, when will NFL players start to get concerned about their own safety? The answer appears to be right now. You heard Ezekiel Elliott. Now listen to Malcolm Jenkins this morning on CNN.
The NBA is a lot different than the NFL because they can actually quarantine all of their players or whoever is going to participate. Where we have over 2,000 players, even more coaches and staff, we can't do that. And so we'll end up being kind of on this trust system where the honor system where we just have to hope that guys are social distancing and things like that. And that puts all of us at risk, not only you know us as players and who's in the building, but when you go home to your families. I have parents that I don't want to get sick. And I think until we get to the point where we have protocols in place and until we get to the place as a country where we feel safe doing it, we have to understand that football is a non-essential business. And so we don't need to do it. And so the risk, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back.
That's a strong statement right there. A really strong statement. The risk is going to have to be eliminated before he's comfortable going back. How and when are you going to do that? The money quote right there. Football is a non-essential business. And so we don't need to do it. So the risk, you know, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back. End quote. You know, again, he's right. Unlike the NBA, the NFL cannot really be put in a bubble. There are way too many people to put on lockdown. And that honor system is going to put people at risk. Like, all you need is one person to break out for a short period of time and things get really ugly really quickly. Have you not seen the stories about that one person or the couple of people who went to a bar one night and then came out and then it spread again? And again, I don't want to be the guy to be a huge downer and a wet blanket and to bring people down. And it certainly is not political. Like, I want sports to happen in some form. This is a sports talk show. I have a vested interest in there being sports. Believe it or not, as easy as we make it look, it is not easy to do a 3-hour sports talk show every single day without sports. Believe me, as much as you want sports to return, believe this, I want it even more. In fact, I need it. It's how I put food on the table. It's how I put my kids in college. I want it and I need it. That said, I want everybody to be safe. And I would not be doing my job if I didn't point out the cases are rising, not falling. And there are reports of certain states being on the verge of being overwhelmed. As Ezekiel Elliott said, our new voice of reason, Ezekiel Elliott. As Zeke said, quote, hey, I hope we play. I want to let you guys know, I do hope that we have a season, but it has to be right. It has to. We got to put the health of the players and the coaches and the support staff first. I think that's important. End quote. My man, Ezekiel Elliott, the voice of reason. He's right. But it's not just important. It's critically important. It's vitally important. And yes, I am aware there is enormous money at stake. All right, I'm well aware of that. And I'm also aware that there's always going to be risk in playing sports during a pandemic. But there are degrees of risk that we all need to be aware of. And ignoring the risk is the greatest risk of all. Ignoring the risk is the greatest risk of all. Again, sorry to be the downer. Sorry to be real at the top of the program. Sorry to break out a big-ass word like juxtaposition at the top of the program. And yes, I'll make up for it. I'll make up for it now by having a little bit of fun a little bit later on. So how are we going to have fun?
I'll make up for it now.
Probably wondering, what are you going to do for me now, Rome? What are you going to do for me now that you threw a gigantic wet blanket over the proceedings? Here's what I can do for you now. I can talk about Patrick Beverley a little bit later on. That's always fun. Or you want better than that? I could talk about Jay Cutler a little bit later on. That's always fun. Pat Bev, Cuddy, got a lot of good things coming up for you. And your telephone calls. Let me get you some reaction really quickly. Hi, May. When sports leagues and the NCAA make decisions strictly based on money, well, what do you expect to happen? The stupid thing in our country gave up trying to contain the virus while we all want to continue with our silly sporting events. We're a nation of quitters. Stephen S.A. Hey, listen, I would love to clap back and tell you, yeah, I don't know what country you're living in. Not me. I'm no quitter. I hate to say it, but this guy's right. To a large extent. A lot of us, not everybody, not the entire nation, but there are a lot of quitters out there. Sorry to say. Got a lot of other nations that have done a lot better with this than us. Again, not to editorialize, but there is something to this. Number one, his point about what do you expect when you make decisions based on money? I don't know about you. Money matters. Money is important. To ignore that, I think, would be pretty naive. However, as I look over the course of my life, any decision that I've made based only on money, generally, has been a pretty bad decision in my own personal experience. Also, there is something to be said, right? Like, what we were doing was working. It was flattening the curve. But then all of a sudden, everybody remembered, like, damn, man, this sucks. I want to get my hair cut. I'm out of here. And now what's happening? Record spikes. So there is a juxtaposition going on here. Sports are getting ready to return, but numbers are spiking up. Dear Jim, we're so excited that your son has decided to join our summer camp this year. We decided to teach him the finer points of phantom infield practice, or being caught in a windstorm, or climbing an imaginary rope, and of course the old trapped in a glass box routine. We'd love to pick up the phone and lob you a call, but alas, we never speak. Signed, Mime Nation, Brian in Charlotte. He's talking about a tweet that I had last night. My tweet was, quote, just found out my son's baseball camp has a new feature this year. No baseballs. So I guess it's just camp. Now understand, this is high school baseball. This isn't ice cream league ball. This isn't t-ball. This is high school baseball. Baseball without baseballs. Baseball camp without baseballs. So I guess it's just camp. And finally, Haunted 00 Horse. Damn it, Ben Golliver. You stopped the Austin streak at two. Well done. Well done. Dear Romy, who needs the MLB when the GOAT, Smoking Jay Cuddy, is going legend as a new divorcee? Lots to unpack from its Instagram post, but mainly coming away with the size of the bags under his eyes. Wow. Thanks, Nikki. Look at Nikki going back to back. Nikki was in yesterday. Way to go, Nikki. Holy crap, look who's here. Austin Huff? Come on. Rome needs to start an Austin streak, in my opinion. Way to go, Huff. You're like the 50th person to say it. Come on, bro. Well, man, why don't you go fill a virtual seat at the Oscars? Then we'll have a discussion. Huff, you and me. Just kidding. At least your name is Austin. I can see where you'd feel that way. Hey, Romy, Hawk said he had a 1.8 GPA. I had a 1.8 BAC. Regards, Cuddy Sark.
Get ready to ride on, baby. Let's go.
Get ready for Geoff to send another stupid take. Yeah. All right, you want to have some more fun? I give to you Austin Huff. He already hit me up. What up, Huff? You want to have some fun? Let's talk Zion. Zion is back with a vengeance, apparently. So all of these things, I'm telling you, I got range. I can hit you with a big-ass word like juxtaposition. I can hit you with something that's real, something maybe you don't want to hear, but I will balance that off with some other things that are cool. When we come back, Austin Hooper begins the Austin streak. That's coming up next segment. We've all heard of Casper, you know, the sleep company with the outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets, Casper transforms the way we sleep, one snooze at a time. And with their 4th of July sale, you can save on the coolest mattress for summer sleep right now, featuring AirScape technology. The original mattress provides the support and cooling you need with the comfort you love. Four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. And now with AirScape technology, air moves through and heat stays out so you can sleep cool all night long. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. And as always, free shipping and free returns. Get 10% off your entire order right now through July 13th with the code KEEPCOOL. Keep cool. Offer expires on the 13th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time. Excludes bundles. The All Mint mattress and sale items. Limit one offer per customer in order. Please see Casper.com/terms for additional terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Back, I'm Jim Rome. Austin Eckler coming up next hour. Right now, we're joined by a tight end for the Cleveland Browns. He is a two-time Pro Bowler, 75 receptions, 787 yards, 6 TDs in 13 games last year. Just one drop on 97 targets last year. Leads all tight ends in catch percentage over the last 3 years. A first-team all-conference player at Stanford. He was the 81st pick overall in 2016. Austin Hooper is my guest. Austin, great to have you back. Listen, before we get into the offseason, how are you and everybody around you doing, Austin, during this really unusual time?
First of all, Jim, thanks for having me. And yeah, I mean, it's been a funky offseason, right? I mean, just you got to really adapt with what the new rules are, and those rules are constantly evolving. And, you know, it was tough to do things with more of a virtual format, but at the end of the day, that was the best option we had. So we just had to, adapt and move forward with it.
Yeah. So what about the process itself? I mean, the whole thing, to your point, is funky, but like earlier this spring, you were a free agent. What was it like to go through that during a global pandemic?
Oh yeah. I mean, Jim, it was weird, buddy. Like trying to, be a free agent, there are obviously, much bigger things going on a global scale. So, and being a free agent in this class, we had to sign a coronavirus addendum agreement, basically saying if there's no season, your signing bonus will get pushed back. So I'm really hoping that there's a season, Rob.
I hear you. Austin Hooper is joining us. Listen, I've long said, Austin, for over a year now, that Cleveland is America's team, but that's just me talking from behind a microphone. What was it about the opportunity in Cleveland that appealed to you so much?
I really liked Andrew Berry, just kind of his vision, his approach, his style. I think I could really benefit being under his leadership, and Coach Stefanski, just being on the phone with him, the energy he brings, and just like, not only that, Jim, but I mean, me coming from my rookie year being with Shanahan in that outside zone play action scheme, I mean, that was just something, that an opportunity presented itself where I could be back in a similar system that I was in 2016. So, between the system, the coach, the GM, you know, and be real the offer. So, I mean, all four of those things were lined up. So, I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer for me.
Austin Hooper joining us, and then probably the quarterback had something to do with it as well. I know for a fact you've seen Baker Mayfield play in person. What was it that made you feel like that's a guy that you want to team up with?
Yeah, around my throughout, you know, before free agency began, I got a hold of Baker and just kind of, you know, chat with him on the phone, and he was just kind of like, hey, man, like, you know, last year wasn't what I wanted. You know, I'm a really competitive person. You'll find that out about me. And, you know, last year, you know, for, you know, a bunch of, you know, whatever happened, I mean, just it wasn't up to his standard. Me just talking with him on the phone for, you know, 10 minutes before free agency, something as simple as that, I just kind of got a little bit of a feel for him and what he's all about. And, you know, later once I signed, I went out to Austin, Texas for a couple of weeks and stayed with him and trained with him every day and just got to be around him and, you know, his wife and his friends and kind of see, like, how he operates and, you know, how he really works and really lives what he talked about. So it was a great opportunity to catch and run routes with him for a couple of weeks because he's, I think he's going to be a really good player, Jim. I mean, he's got a really live arm, so I'm excited.
I do too, Austin. I definitely believe in this guy. I understand that it was not a great year last year, but nobody understands that better than him. I think I'm not there, but I trust that he's going to make the adjustments. I would still load up on stock on Baker Mayfield. I'm still all in with him. You mentioned Kevin Stefanski, Austin. For instance, everybody talks about how much he loves 12 personnel and using tight ends. From what you've seen of the offense so far, how would you describe that offense and your role in the offense?
Great question. I would say, and you want me to speak specifically more on the 12 personnel components of our offense or just schematically as a whole?
How about both?
Well, in the 12 world, I mean, having two tight ends, right, like you immediately, defense has to declare what they're doing. And first of all, is it base or nickel? You know, are you dealing with a big guy or are you dealing with a little body? You know, I mean, using 12 personnel, it gives away, if you're in a wing set, Jim, like if there's a safety or linebacker over, basically, unless you see a corner, it's going to be man-to-man. You know what I mean? It's just such easy man-zone tells for literally everyone on the field. O-lineman could tell a man-zone read when you're in a wing set. Like, it just tips the hand of the defense and allows you, you know, depending on, you know, self-scout leading up to, you know, how the defense prepares against, you know, this or that. Like, you can really burn some defenses based on, you know, 12 personnel formations and having a guy like David, you know, a guy with legit 4-4 speed, like, you know, it's going to be fun to play with him, and we should scare some linebackers this year. So it's going to be fun. And overall, as an offense, right, it comes out of that outside zone play action scheme. So, you know, very similar stuff you've seen, you know, with Kyle. He got a boot, you know, three out zone stretch scheme. Everything you've seen before, Jim, just, you know, with a different play caller now.
Chopping it up with Austin Hooper. Now, Austin, another guy who played a part in your decision was former Browns tight end Jordan Cameron, who you met through American Football Without Borders. For those who do not know, what is that program about, and why did you want to get involved?
So Gary Barnidge started the foundation, I want to say, in 2014 or 2015. It was just a web where they could do camp for the kids in a different country every year. And I've been fortunate enough to be on the past couple. My first one being what, after I talked to you after the Super Bowl in Atlanta, ended up rolling out to Germany on my first one. And then this past following year, we were in Hungary, just put on a camp for kids. And this year, we always do a charity component. And this year, we worked with children affected by war. So it was some heavy stuff, Jim, just seeing, you know, how strong these kids' spirits are despite, you know, all these, you know, physical deals, you know, it's a byproduct of war that they have to deal with. So, I mean, it really gave me a whole different perspective on, you know, I'm blessed to play a child's game at 25. Like, there's, you know, there are much more pressing concerns going on in the world. And I think the foundation is just a great opportunity that allows, you know, a bunch of vets to teach kids, and we can also do some charitable things along the way. So I can go on and on about it. I'm a big fan.
And good on you. What a great cause that is. Austin Hooper is joining us. Austin, I thought you had a great line recently. Give me a minute. I want to read this. Quote, it's definitely more cool to play tight end now. I remember almost a decade ago How long ago was when Richard Sherman was talking trash after that game? Don't open your mouth about me. I remember after that, everybody wanted to play corner. Kids of my generation in high school wanted to start playing defensive back after that, end quote. So now it's cool to be a tight end. Who do you credit for that change and why? What happened? What flipped?
Great question. I don't know. It's like more the chicken or the egg story, right? Was it Pat's success with Gronk, or was it, you know, Tony and Antonio Gates and Dallas Clark who kind of started to make it cool? But, I mean, definitely in the social media age, right, it's Gronk. Gronk rules it all. I mean, his presence on social media, I mean, just, you know, the multifaceted blocking platform that is Gronk on every level. How can you not love that guy? So I think, much like you hit upon with, because I remember that championship game against Harbaugh's Niners, I was in high school, and I remember the next day, it was the strangest thing, like, everyone wanted to play corner. I'm like, bro, you're a D lineman. Like, you're not playing corner. But everyone wanted to. And to your point, I do think the whole tight end movement deal where it started to become cool, definitely, in my opinion, started with Gronk. And then since then, you've had my guy, you know, basically Gronk reincarnate. And then you got Travis, who's, you know, the man in his own right. So, I mean, a lot of personalities. So I think those three definitely contribute nowadays towards everyone wanting to play tight end.
So much personality. Awesome. One last thought. At the end of last season, you went to your second straight Pro Bowl. What was that experience like, and how good does it feel now to be a regular at the Pro Bowl?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Jim? You cut out.
I was saying that last year, Austin, you went to your second straight Pro Bowl. I'm curious, what was that experience like, and what's it feel like now to be a regular at the Pro Bowl?
It felt good, Jim, but, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, there are always going to be people who, you know, say this, that, and the third. But not only one time, but twice and back-to-back years. Like, that's just – I remember talking to you on your show a couple years back, and it was just like that all – even years ago, Jim, just all the work I put in the offseason that I don't put on Instagram for other people to look at, like – you know, all the work I do, I just, you know, count my chips quietly and work on my craft quietly. So the ability to be able to be a part of that exclusive fraternity back for back-to-back years, it's just a testament to all the work I put in.
What a great line that is. I count my chips quietly. Austin, one thing to quickly follow up. I had Eric Weddle on my podcast, and he said to me, without giving away the podcast because it's live right now, but he made the point to me that right around his third or fourth year, he figured something out. He figured out, and this is to the point that you just made, that, yeah, you go to the Pro Bowl, but that's not going to stop people from saying what they say. Weddle said, as soon as I figured out that the only thing that mattered were those who were in my tight circle, that I couldn't control and I didn't care what people said about me, then everything flipped, everything changed. Is there something to that?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right, Jim. There's some truth to that, and I think I need to adopt that more into my life. I mean, you're so right. I mean, the Pro Bowl is voted on by your peers. Like, if you get respect by your peers, that's the, you know, as an athlete, I mean, that as long as I get respect from my peers, like, I'm good in my book. I don't care what John from Milwaukee's got to say. You know what I mean?
Yes. I know exactly what you mean. I got to feel John
behind
Milwaukee's
a Facebook
myself.
Twitter account. Yeah. So if you get respect from your peers, just like you're respecting your business, you get respect from your peers, I'm sure has to feel more – probably has to feel better than to you than, like, fans coming up to you. Like, people in your industry who knows all the work you put in over decades and seeing where you're at. I mean, it's just like – hey, I'm just, yeah, if you get respect to your peers, that's when you know you made it.
He is a two-time Pro Bowler, coming off a huge year, 75 receptions last year in just 13 games, led all tight ends in catch percentage over the last 3 years, and now with a great opportunity. My man, Austin, so good to get caught up. You know, I appreciate you. I appreciate the relationship, and it's great to have you back on the show, Austin. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. You the man, Jim. Hit me up whenever you need me.
I will, man. You the man. Much respect. Much appreciation. Austin Hooper, good Stanford man. Good Stanford man. You hear that, John in Milwaukee? Neither he nor I give a damn what you think. You got that, John? John in Milwaukee.
Hey, John.
In Milwaukee, we don't care. My thanks to Austin Hooper. That was a blast. And again, choosing to be in Cleveland, wanting to be a part of what's going on in Cleveland, America's team, the Cleveland Browns. If, in fact, there is a season, I'm still riding with them. I'm still rolling with them, and he is a big reason why. All right, my thanks to Austin. When we come back, phone lines are open. Austin Eckler is coming up next hour. I told you we'd have fun today, even if I had to start with the so-called juxtaposition off the top. All right, get at it. I will get to Cuddy. I know a lot of you want to talk about Jay Cutler. Cuddy's back with a vengeance on social. Man, Austin is awesome. Austin Hooper. Well, and Austin Eckler. And Huff. All the Austins. Steve Austin. Miles Austin. Tavon Austin. Austin Rivers. Austin Carr. All the Austins. But mostly Austin Hooper. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Here's Austin Bogus. CBS
Sports. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
One Austin down, another to come. That was Austin Hooper. Austin Eckler coming up next hour. I would say there might be an Austin streak, but Ben Golliver is going to join me in hour number three. Saturday on CBS, women's soccer returns as the two-time defending champs North Carolina take on the Portland Thorns in the NWSL Challenge Cup. It's on CBS and live stream on All Access. Jamie in Green Bay hits me with, all I want to talk about today is Jay Cutler's hunt for a serial killer. It tells you all you need to know about Cuddy. The Cuddy has not played in quite some time, and Cuddy is still a thing. Cuddy is not only still a thing, Cuddy is a big thing. Like, as an example, I don't really have the time nor the interest to reset fully the ballad of reality TV superstar Smoking Jay Cutler and his now ex-wife, Kristen Cavallari. So let me give you the Cliff Note version instead. It was 4 years ago that Cuddy's ex-wife disguised a boring infomercial and disguised that as, well, it was a boring infomercial for her clothing line and disguised it as a reality TV show. We all saw right through that. Because it lacked everything that a good TV show normally has. Namely, drama, storylines, comedy, entertainment value, substance, arc, likable people. It lacked all of that. And then all of a sudden, Jay Cutler stumbles onto the screen as a disinterested, grumpy, aloof, red ass. More interested in talking to farm animals than actual human beings. And in so doing, he completely stole the show. Without even trying. And then very Cavallari quickly became very Cuddy. 4 years and then a tone-deaf quarantine trip to the Bahamas later. And the Cuddies from Nashville are now the Cuddies from Splitsville.
Consider that a divorce.
That'll happen. No judgment. Again, I don't care. Not my life. Not my business. But I did say at the time, no Cuddy, no show. Remember? I did say at that time, I don't really care about what they decide. That's their life. It's not my business. But no Cuddy, no show. And I was right. Because after Mrs. Former Cuddy called Smokin' Jay, quote, lazy and unmotivated, she went ahead and canceled the show. Cancel the series, which is kind of ironic, right? Because that makes her sound pretty lazy and unmotivated. But can you blame her? Again, who the hell is going to watch that thing without Jay Cutler? Fast forward then to the present day. Well, yesterday, actually. It's been a minute since we've heard from the Marlboro Man. And considering his utter lack of interest in all social media, I kind of thought we might never hear from Cuddy ever again. I was concerned. But then Jay Cutler made the best decision of his life. He got the password to his Instagram account from his ex Heat. Maybe you didn't know this, but Cuddy's ex-wife ran the account. His account. Not anymore. The Eagle has landed officially into his own account, and not a moment too soon. Because yesterday, Jay Cutler brought us into the most epic true crime murder mystery of 2020, and it was all going down in his own backyard. Here is Cuddy from his Instagram stories yesterday.
Okay, here's the deal. First story, it's a big one. We've got a chicken serial killer on the loose. We've lost quite a few. Tonight, we're going to set up a trail camera, see if it's a coyote, bobcat, I don't know, raccoon. Could be anything. I'm not sure, but enough's enough. These ladies are a little edgy right now, so we've got to figure this out.
Oh, man. That is the content I'm here for. I don't even know where to start with that. Like, I'm hanging on this guy's every word, I admit it. That is the content that I'm here for. Not just chickens getting murdered by wild animals, but Detective Cuddy is trying to crack the case himself and referring to his hens as ladies. Amazing. So Cuddy laid that out. He's going to set up a night vision camera and figure out exactly what's going on. He said it might be a bobcat, it might be a coyote, but he also did not rule out a possible inside job by his own house cat.
Could be an inside job. Thelma over there, while she looks nice and sweet, is a savage with loose morals. Thelma, hey cat, kitty cat, I hope you don't show up on camera tonight.
Oh man, this dude is amazing. Referring to a house cat as a savage with loose morals. Hey Thelma, hey kitty cat. I mean, this is why this guy was a TV superstar for 4 years. Like, it's effortless. He's not even trying. He's that good. Listen to how much better he is at talking to farm animals than actual people. Now, a few hours later, Cuddy apparently had a chicken guy come by and drop him off some more chickens.
All right, here's the deal. My chicken guy, Blake, dropped me off some more chickens. Some pretty reds, a few browns. Everyone's on edge for tonight, obviously. Big night, huh, ladies? So we're going to stay up, get the cam going. Probably going to sit in the treehouse over there. So I'll let you know what happens. Should be an exciting night.
Oh, man.
Stay tuned.
Oh, man. I don't know what I'm more fascinated by. Cuddy having a chicken guy. He's got a chicken guy. Like, I know people with car guys or watch guys. I've never heard of anybody having a chicken guy. Or the fact that he's reloading his stock with reds and browns. Just in time for a potential massacre. But did you catch the part where he addressed the hens?
Big night, huh, ladies?
If I played you a clip with no context, where Jay Cutler said, big night, huh, ladies?
Big night, huh, ladies?
You would never in a million years guess that he was talking to chickens.
Big night, huh, ladies?
But this is newly divorced Detective Cuddy living his best life. Out on the backyard farm, putting in the work, carrying on conversations with his farm animals. It's incredible. Unfortunately, however, for Sherlock Cutler, he hit a bit of a snag with some non-cooperating weather.
We got a little rainstorm moving in. Not really sure what that's going to do for tonight's activities. The old treehouse really isn't set up for a rain shelter. And I don't know if anything needs to be moving tonight. So, see what happens with the weather. Hopefully it clears out. We can get back to protecting our hens.
Holy crap. Like, literally the best show anywhere is Cuddy's Instagram stories. Like, that was yesterday. Jay Ventura, pet detective, did not update the feed the rest of the night, which was a total bum out. But he was back at it this morning to bring everybody back up to speed.
Morning. Quick update. While they say no news is good news, in this case, we needed news. Didn't get any news. No pictures on the cam as expected. We're obviously dealing with a pretty intelligent predator. I think it is safe to say it's not the cat. So I think we can take her off the suspect list. Boy, but the hunt continues.
Cuddy, you freaking legend. I'm in awe of this guy right now. Like, you might want to call that anticlimactic, but you'd be dead-ass wrong. First off, crossing off suspects from the list is just as fundamental to a case as adding suspects to the list. And now we know Thelma the cat is out from under the hot lamp. She is free to go. She is off the list. That's good. It narrows the search. Also, what kind of a mystery would it be if it were solved in a single day? The fact that we're going to get more content and more Detective Cuddy is a win for everybody. He's not giving up. This isn't some cold case. We don't have to wait 20 years and some technology and DNA to kick in. Man, he's just getting started. He's on it. We're good. Who the hell doesn't want to see Cuddy get this chicken eater on night vision cam and then attempt to catch it? The best is still yet to come. And again, let me say this. 3 minutes worth of Instagram stories of Smokin' Jay Cutler talking to chickens and his cat Thelma is a million times more compelling than any single scene of his ex-wife's infomercial. In fact, it's better than any show on the air right now anywhere. And I'm talking about Instagram stories. It's better than the show that he did with his ex Heat, except for the scenes that he was in, of course. Welcome back to the screen, Cuddy. We missed you. Keep the updates coming, bro. Everybody's watching. Everybody's hanging on every last word. Starting with me. And to every woman refreshing her phone right now, looking for the next Cuddy IG story, I'd say this.
Big night, huh, ladies?
Big night, huh, ladies?
Big night, huh, ladies?
He's got a chicken guy, and he's adding reds and browns. And he's trying to catch the killer.
Big night, huh, ladies?
He's talking to farm animals. And he's got a guy. A chicken guy. And the cat's off the hook. It's not an inside job. Good job, Cuddy. Great job, Cuddy. Great effort. Told you we'd have some fun. Man, you should have ripped that password back from the ex a long time ago. Because that is gold. IG gold. Austin Eckler next hour. A reset of Eric Weddle on the podcast next hour. Stay tuned.